Could you hear that, Belle? You're good? Okay. All right, loves. I'm going to try and set this up so hold on. Okay, so what we're going to do is Same thing, just as an exercise now, right? Actually, I should make sure people aren't in the same rooms. But I'm going to put Lisa in with, in a group. It's putting you here with Brenda and Ramon. Because what she didn't get with me, she didn't get the experience of doing the back and forth, right? And so what I'd like you to do is to share what is the most loving experience you've had, okay? And I'm going to encourage you to not have it be a sexual experience unless it was totally out of this world tantric love thing, right? But let's not conflate, you know, a really great sex with a loving experience, okay? So the question still is, right? Could you tell me more? Find something. Could you tell me more? And let me see if I got this right. Is this is what I think I heard you say. And so let's just check ourselves that way. All right. And for the group with three, which is Brenda, Lisa, and Ramon, I'm just going to ask you to be a little more concise. Just ask you to be a little more concise. And what I'll do is I'll put out, did it help having the reminder sent? Did you even see it? You did? Okay. So I'll set, we'll still do 5 minutes each person, except Lisa and Brenda and Ramon. You guys got like 3.5 minutes each. Okay. So work with that and that's enough. Let's just stay with that. Okay. What is the most loving experience you have had? All right. Are you ready? Here we go. Was that enough time?
Yeah? All right. Okay. So.
So you know what to do. Let's do a real quick share and recap, okay? And why don't we let the group of three start? Because they had the most challenging.
Awesome. So let me do this so that I don't forget.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about Ramon first. And he had an experience where he was at work and then maybe ended up leaving work to be like picking something up at a pharmacy, or he was somewhere else and he passed out. And I don't know if he woke up during the middle, because I should have said, tell me more, but I didn't. Wakes up in the hospital, right? Feeling like, oh my gosh, like what happened? How embarrassing. I had to be transported by ambulance here. And while he was there, his mom came in and she didn't say a word, right? Knowing that he's probably feeling really embarrassed about this. And he was in his 20s, so, but really wanting to just have the mom thing. And she was great. And she came in and she didn't say a word and she was just there. And that was exactly what he needed at that moment, was to just be supported and embraced. And did I get that, Ramon?
Perfectly. Thank you.
Oh, okay. And Brenda, was a bit, started out a bit more broad in terms of really feeling that unconditional love and support from her husband and how he embraces her and everything about her and how wonderful that is. And then translating it, I'm probably missing some of the stuff in the middle, but what really resonated, what I heard come through, was how she receives that from her husband. She wants to give that to her kids in terms of unconditional love and support and having them be a soft place. She's a soft place for them to land as they move through all of their struggles. And I thought that was really beautiful and lovely. And Brenda, did I capture that?
Yes. Okay, so I will, Ramon, is it okay if I tell about Lisa? Okay,
yes.
This is why we might have been better with the one-on-one, but that's okay. I had said this too, that I, you know, was struggling with thinking of one thing, so that's why I kind of went broader. And Lisa was struggling with that as well. And then hearing Ramon share kind of sparked some memories for her of a time after her brother-in-law had passed away and they were at the funeral, that there was one person that wasn't in her inner circle really tight, but one person that came over after everything was done. And instead of asking, you know, the how are you and what can I do kind of questions, just came and sat next to her and just, you know, put an arm on her, a hand on her arm or whatever, without a lot of words, and offered her comfort. And then she had almost a repeat situation of that as something like 6 months later. Someone in a grocery store that she hadn't seen or didn't know that well, and just opened up the arms for a hug with no words, and stating that those kinds of experiences, when you're busy giving and giving and giving to others and caretaking for others, that when a person can just recognize that all you need is a person next to you or a hug, and that's a really powerful moment. Lisa, did I get that?
Yep. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful. Who would like to go next?
April and I can go.
Okay.
And I can share first. April talked about her mom at first, but it was mostly about her husband. When she is with him, she feels so secure. She feels like she's at home. And we kind of unwrapped what the word home meant, and it meant safe, but not just like physically safe, but like deeply safe, more emotionally safe. And it was also, she described it as indescribable. And so it was really hard to kind of get to the words, but that she has, that she can just be herself. She has a voice. There's unconditional love between her and her husband. So, and in contrast, she's been in a previous relationship where there wasn't that. So she knows this is true. So. Did I capture this, April?
Yes.
Okay. Yes,
thank you. And Laura, what I heard Laura describing as that ultimate expression of love was the sense of, again, the word safety came up, security that she feels with her parents, that even now as an adult, going through the things that she has had to go through, and will perhaps go through, she knows without a doubt that her parents are 100% there for her and her siblings, one. Yeah. That just throughout her life that her parents have been, they are like one person and that one person that is her parents, just their love for each other translates to that sense of being 100% there for her throughout her life, and they're just there was one word that Laura said that I'm forgetting now, but just compassion for the things that whatever she is going through in her life, that they have that sense of love and compassion for her. So Laura, am I getting that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the word was a sacrifice and provide, like a providership.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. That word.
Yeah. It was sacrifice.
Okay.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Kathleen, did I see you ready to unmute there?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was for Steve and I, and Steve, talked more about his mom again, and you just, you know, the struggle that she had from going to, East Coast, West Coast. I think Dad was on the West Coast, Mom was on the East Coast, and his whole life going back and forth. He's driven across the U.S. quite a bit. I forgot to ask if he's hit every state yet, but, and just the way she has, through all of her own struggles, continue to take care of her own children and making sure that they're still, you know, good. She's 83 years old and is still on him about, is he taking care of himself and is he doing this or that? And it's just, did I get that about right?
Yeah, you were definitely, you got it. Thanks. Yep. Yep. Yep.
There was more to it, but it was just her whole, you know, it sounds like she gave up a lot, but still has herself in there at the same time, if I understand that.
Yep. That's absolutely the case. Yeah. And she regained more and more of herself. So, yep.
Which is amazing. And she meditates too, which is.
Karen. Yeah.
Yeah. She's part of our Thursday day group. We love her. Yeah.
That's awesome.
She's so exhausting and she knows I'm doing this. So it's just like the interrogation from her is just, oh my God, how is the class going? How's this? What did you guys do? It's just like, oh my God. But anyway, it's all good. So can you send me your reading list? You know, of course, I don't know if the reading list is like, you know, if it's even legal to distribute that, but.
Yes, it is. Okay. Of course it is.
Because I'd already distributed it to her, so I feel much better.
Okay, good.
So, okay. So anyway, so on to Kathleen. So her, the first most selfless act that she described was that when she and Vince, were getting ready to get married, they basically, she had really wanted to take dancing lessons. And so it sounds like Vince, maybe even very willingly, although I can't speak for him, decided that he would go right ahead and take the dancing lessons. Their key song was George Strait's Across My Heart. And I was trying to think, okay, so the only George Strait song I listened to is She's About As Gone As A Girl Can Get. And I remember, and that actually goes all, I remember working for this Mason and Monon. So I started like drifting back to basically building block foundations to She's About As Gone As A Girl Can Get. But then I digressed, but I think I was managed to still focus. And so when they got to their wedding day, what had happened was that, or leading up to that point, that she had noticed that actually Vince was really a very good singer. And so when they got to the wedding day to basically play that song by George Strait, which is not She's About As Gone As a Girl Can Get. Actually, that's not George Strait. I'm thinking of I Got Friends in Low Places.
Garth Brooks, yes.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I'll just keep my mouth shut on country western songs because it's not my thing. I'm pretty much classic rock, Grateful Dead, that kind of thing. Anyway, so it turned out that Vince had actually, instead of the song itself playing from George Strait, no, that is She's About, anyway, Vince had sung it. And so Kathleen was, you know, really so moved by it. She forgot the whole, all the dance routines that they had been rehearsing that I'm sure poor Vince just begrudged. No, I don't want to speak for Vince. So that, and, but number two, and importantly, you know, the other thing that really came to her mind was her daughter, when she gave birth to her daughter and the blueness of her eyes. And so, and it was nice to know, you know, I feel like I've known Kathleen and Vince for at least some amount of time. I met Vince personally at the, whatever the solstice thing was, over a year ago now. So it was kind of nice to get a little bit further background on, like, you know, how long they've been married, you know, the children that they have from previous marriages and so forth. So anyway, did I get that? Or probably I got too much of it.
It's all good. It's all good. Good job. When I was talking in my daughter's eyes, it was just, and I'm sure moms understand, right? It was that instant connection, and you can't explain that. You can't explain that feeling, but it's just pure love. So yeah. Anyway.
Nice. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Who's left? Oh,
we're ready. So,
you said, do you want to go first?
Okay, I'll go first. And Kelsey shared with me is that her most loving experience is with herself. This is something that she has been, that she didn't pay much attention to for way too long, and I don't know how recently, but recently this is the love affair she's been developing, and showering the little baby Kelsey with love and hugs and support, and making reassuring little baby Casey that she's going to be taken care of. And yes, is that it?
Yep. That was perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then Mieszka talked about a couple different relationships. First, it was her mother's love. But the one that she talked about being most present for her right now is the kind of unconditional love of her friends who have shown up for her without, you know, needing anything in return and have been there for her to support her, even when at times she felt like maybe she wasn't worthy of that support or worthy of that love. And so her friends showing her that she is has been a really big part of her life, important part of her life these days. And then at the end, we talked about how some of that love is just starting to come towards herself, and she's just starting to be able to recognize that she can share that with herself as well. Is that a pretty okay summary? Okay.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so everybody has an experience that they can associate with love, with a loving, that experience of loving, being loved or loving, right? And so what we've done just now is you've articulated some sense of an experience of selflessness, of love, and what I'm hoping we can do is kind of just hold this space for a few more moments, right? Of where you're tapping into something that's not your everyday experience. Get up, do this, do that, do this. But tapping into, and so even as you're sitting there, can you just feel a little bit of that feeling you felt as you talked about the selflessness, as you thought about it, talked about that experience of loving, being loved, right? And then I'm going to ask you, so within that field, that feeling, your quality, that quality that you value above all, what is that quality? What is that quality? And I would hope what I'm going to open up to you is that quality that your Ishta is going to embody, that it have the same effect on you, the same or even more profound, but certainly at least that sense of tapping into a feeling state that is not part of your normal world. That feeling of experiencing or witnessing selflessness, that experience of loving or being loved. That's a feeling state, right? And so what is your quality? What is your quality? And could you share it in a way that's just very simple and just a couple words? This is the quality that I value most. And if you have your Ishta, this is the quality my Ishta embodies. If you don't have your Ishta yet, this is the quality my Ishta embodies. You may not have met it or her yet. But I want to just say on the record for all of us, if you have had any kind of experiences with God, let me put God in quotes, right, that are negative or difficult, or you're questioning it, or you know, it's a good idea to open yourself up. If it was a male God, open yourself to the female side. It's just one way of helping to broaden your concept. And I'm going to throw this out here, and you don't have to agree with it. I'm just going to throw this out here. Kriyananda shocked me when he said once that there was something above God, that the concept of God in and of itself was a limiting concept. And he, in his beautiful, humorous way, would say that the God of men, meaning humans, is a God that can only be conceived by the human mind, as has been created in the image of humans, which is how we get a jealous, angry, vengeful God, right? A punitive God. And his point was that the concept of God is really, on a broader concept, God is a creative force. It's a creative energy. And that there is actually way more than the word God can even begin to capture. So if any, I just wanted to put that out there for anybody who's maybe getting a little locked up, to give you permission to just kind of let go of all previous conceptions of what this is and attune to that quality. What is the quality? And find the symbol of that quality. Just find the symbol that speaks to you of that quality, and perhaps even begin to call it in. Call it in. Okay? So what I'd like you to do is, if you've done it already, just do it again. If it's changing, just write down in your journal right now, what is your quality? Just write it down. What is your quality that you hold most dear today? Today. And I'm going to really encourage you to just write something, because they're all connected. They're all connected. They're all connected. This is just your access point. And then what we'll do is, let's take a few minutes for some questions, because I know some people had questions, and then I want to, actually, no, let's go into the meditation first, then we'll come back into questions. So let's go into our meditation, and let's find or greet our Ishta. Okay? So being comfortable, just being really comfortable. And bringing your attention, turning inward, bring your attention to the sensation in your legs, the sensation in your torso, the sensation in your arms and your hands. Consciously softening your neck, your shoulders, softening your face. We're going to take a nice, deep, three-part inhale. Actually, go ahead. Just take a nice, deep, three-part inhale. As you exhale, soften your face, your neck, your shoulders, your torso. Settle into your seat right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Soft. Open, and bringing your attention to the sensation in your legs and your feet. With your next inhale, begin to draw that energy from your toes into your feet, into your ankles, and pull the energy up your legs. Bring it up into your torso as you exhale. Exhale. All that energy is in your torso. And then bring your attention to your arms and your hands and your fingers. Just whatever you notice is what there is. Accept that. And then bringing your attention to the fingers, the tips of the fingers. With your next inhale, draw the energy from the fingers into the palms, up the arms. And as you exhale, drop all that energy into your torso. And then holding that awareness of the energy in your torso at the same time as you hold awareness of that little tiny channel that runs from the base of your spine up into the cervical vertebrae. That tiny channel of energy. We call it the Sushumna. We're going to inhale, and as you exhale, you're going to push all that energy into the spine, into that little channel, okay? So when you're ready, inhale. exhale and take all that energy in your torso and collapse it into your spine. Collapse it into your spine. And bring your attention to the very base of your tailbone. And visualize a golden white orb, radiant. It can be more white than gold. It can be more gold than white. Just radiant little orb. And now begin to draw that orb of light up through the center of the spine. Draw it up past the lower back, pulling it up past the navel, collecting all that energy, pulling it up into the past the heart, up into the neck, and then bring that ball of energy that's collected, all that other energy, right there to the center of your head. And very gently project it forward so it's sitting just outside your forehead. At that point, we call the sun center. And in a moment, we're going to inhale. And as you exhale, you're going to sweep that powerful, radiant orb of light 3 times around your body to the left and 3 times around your body to the right. And then we're going to let all those rings of light expand into an orb, a beautiful orb of sacred light. Okay? So inhale. Exhale slowly, sweep that orb 3 times to the left, and then 3 times to the right, and then allow yourself to be enfolded and surrounded as that light expands. And you are sitting in the middle of your sacred space. Your sacred space. And then dropping your attention into the heart center. Bring into your awareness the quality that is most appealing to you right now. And there's a feeling with that quality. What is that feeling? And just think about that. Think about that quality. Think about people you know, situations that evoke that quality. So you're feeling it in your heart center. And now bringing your attention to your sun center. Imagine that you are calling your Ishta. Just asking your Ishta to appear. And take what appears. Take what appears. And as your Ishta reveals itself or begins to reveal itself, just imagine that that quality, that feeling of your quality is held in that space in front of you, of your sun center. And there's a color to this quality. What is that color? Let that feeling, the light that is your Ishta, let it be that color. It doesn't mean your Ishta is that color, right? It's just that's the color. And whether you see now your actual Ishta or you just see a light that is the color of this quality, greet your Ishta. Say hi. Just say hi. And see what happens. See how your Ishta responds. And then ask your Ishta its name. And accept what comes. And if nothing comes, that's okay. And then gazing up, because our Ishta is in front of us, but just a little above us, right? Gazing up at your Ishta. for a few moments, just say something. Tell your Ishta how you're feeling. And it's important to be open. You know, the Ishta, our Ishta really speaks to us, right? Some people have that. For most of it, it's the sensing. We're sensing. And so now, go ahead and smile at your Ishta. Smile. And what are you sensing coming back from your Ishta? Is your Ishta smiling at you? And can you allow yourself to be bathed in the grace of that smile? And if there is no smile, just let the light radiate towards you. It will come. And imagine now, from the forehead of your Ishta, a radiant light, the color of your quality, flowing down into your sun center. And this light is filled with the quality, it's filled with the grace and the love and the acceptance of your Ishta. And just allow yourself to receive this blessing of light that flows into the sun center and then down through your whole body, filling you with this light, this quality, filling you so completely that your cells become saturated with this light and you can feel this light beginning to radiate through the pores of your skin, into this sacred orb that is surrounding you. And this orb of sacred light becomes the color of that quality. And see if you can allow yourself to sit here so soft, releasing any tightness or tension, and simply receive this blessing. And this light continues to radiate into your sun center. And for a moment now, just bring your attention to your sun center. And just notice any sensation, any warmth. As your attention rests here, what is the sensation that lets you know your attention is here at the sun center? And as you're breathing in this quality that is surrounding you in your sacred space, and as you exhale, you are softening and releasing any resistance. And let's just do two more inhales. And then allow that beam of light to just gently effervesce. And there's just your Ishta. And offer your Ishta something. Make an offering to your Ishta, an offering of gratitude. And see how your Ishta responds. And then let your Ishtar know. If there's anything else you need to say, say it, but it's time to take our leave. And then let your Ishtar begin to move towards you and merge into your sun center. So your sun center just absorbs the Ishtar. And then you bring your Ishtar up over the top of your head and rest there, right at the top of your head. Your protector, your muse, your Ishtar, right here always. And then my suggestion is, at night, as you lay down your head on your pillow, you bring your Ishtar, you invite your Ishtar down through your head, down into the very center of your heart, and you tuck your Ishtar here with you as you sleep. And then in the morning, if you're a morning meditator, as you do your invocation, let your Ishtar arise from your heart center to return to your crown. Or if you're not a morning meditator, then as you wake up, as you rest there, waking up, let your Ishtar rise from your heart to rest at the top of your head as your guide, as your presence all day long. This is a Tibetan technique that can be very, very useful in building our awareness of our Ishtar. And there we go. And from here, let's close with a sweet meditation. Just bring your hand to your heart, your right hand to your heart center. Feel the touch of your hand. And then bring your left hand and feel the touch of your left on top of your right. So you can feel, literally feel, the warmth and the touch. And drink it in. Just drink it in. And repeat after me. May I be at ease. May I feel safe and protected. May I be happy. May I feel loving kindness towards myself. May I be filled with loving kindness for myself. And may I hold myself with loving kindness, that I may be at peace. Just rest in that for a moment. Feel the touch of your hands. Feel your Ishtar above you. Feel the sacred space around you. And for a few moments, allow yourself to be tender and receptive and open. When you're ready, you can gently release your hands. Just take a gentle in-breath, exhale. And what we're going to do now is I'm going to let you just rest here. We're going to take a 10-minute break. And I'd like you to just rest here and journal for a few moments about what you just experienced, any questions you might have, and we'll come back at 10 o'clock, Oregon time, noon, Central Time, and we'll kind of spend our last half hour in a different zone with questions and instructions and things like that. Okay? So 10 minutes. We'll see you back on the hour. Okay?